From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. For the second time, U.S. President Donald Trump has waived economic sanctions on Iran under a 2015 nuclear deal between Iran and major world powers. He approved new sanctions, stopping short for a third time of reimposing harsh sanctions intended to push Tehran to give up nuclear weapons research. Robert Malley of the International Crisis Group helped broker the Iran nuclear deal under the Obama administration.
This is a reflection of the dilemma that the administration faces. The deal that's working, the deal they don't like. What do they do about it? They continue so far to waive the sanctions on the grounds that it would be a self-inflicted blow for the U.S. to be isolating itself by saying we're walking away from the deal. But continued sanctions, continued uncertainty thrown, climate of uncertainty over the deal to make sure that Iran doesn't get all the benefits of the deal.
In October, President Trump refused to certify the agreement, saying Tehran had failed to live up to the spirit of the 2015 deal, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, but held off on reimposing severe sanctions on Iran's central bank and energy industry. There's continued backlash after reports that President Trump used a vulgar term to describe Haiti, African nations, and El Salvador, statements to have been acknowledged by Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, who was in the Oval Office meeting when the president is said to use the expletive.
I cannot believe that in the history of the White House, in that Oval Office, any president has ever spoken the words that I personally heard our president speak yesterday. You've seen the comments in the press. I have not read one of them that's inaccurate. To no surprise, the president started tweeting this morning denying that he used those words. It is not true. He said these hate-filled things, and he said them repeatedly.
The comments were made during a presentation by Durbin and Republican Senator Lindsey Graham about bipartisan legislation to protect from deportation immigrants. This is VOA News. The bodies of two more crew members of an Iranian oil tanker have been recovered after a collision last week between the tanker and a Chinese cargo ship. Chinese state media say the bodies were recovered Saturday morning on the deck of an adrift still burning Sanchi. A body found earlier this week is believed to be another of the 32 crew members, which included 30 Iranians and two Bangladeshis. Pope Francis is scheduled to visit Chile and Peru next week, but it's likely to be overshadowed by the church's sex scandal abuse in Chile and political troubles in Peru. Only a few days ahead of the trip, vandals in Chile firebombed three churches in the capital, Santiago, and left a threatening note for the Pope. California rescuers have started making a second pass through areas hit hard by deadly mudslides earlier this week, searching for survivors in the disaster already known to have killed 17 people. On Friday, the estimated number of missing people went down to 5 after an estimate of 43 Thursday. After nearly 7 years of war, the UN survey finds Syrian refugees in Lebanon are poorer and finding it even more difficult to make ends meet. It also shows refugee households on average spend $98 per person per month. Nearly half that sum goes toward food. VOA's Lisa Schlein has more.
It says almost 9 out of every 10 refugees end up in debt. UN Refugee Agency spokesman William Spindler says that makes refugees vulnerable.
Obtaining legal residency continues to be a challenge, leaving refugees exposed to an increased risk of arrest, hindering their ability to register their marriages and making it more difficult for them to find daily labor, send their children to school, or access health care.
Spindler tells VOA the precarious situation facing Syrian refugees is pushing them into adopting negative coping mechanisms such as early marriage and child labor.
In the Southern Barrier Reef, where conditions are cooler, about two-thirds are female. Researchers say that while they hope for some milder years to produce more males, they expect temperatures to continue to rise. One possible solution to the gender imbalance is to put up tents over beaches where turtles nest to give them shade. Dr. Colin Limpus, Queensland chief scientist, says the cloud seeding is another option.
There is consideration being given to having artificial rain. It's being considered primarily for how can we get the turtles nesting successfully. At the same time, it's going to cool the sand and should shift the sex ratio towards an increase in males.
The green turtle is one of the largest sea turtles and the only herbivore among the different species. I'm Tommy McNeil in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.